This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Like the beat of the tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall.
That's one of America's supreme songwriters, Cole Porter. His melodies and its lyrics spoke of a lifestyle that was suave, elegant, easy, romantic.
So a voice within me keeps repeating you, 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 night and day.
But 5 years after writing Night and Day, Cole Porter suffered an accident that transformed his debonair life into a constant battle with excruciating pain. University of Michigan medical historian Dr. Howard Markell is back with, let's talk a little first about what it was like to be Cole Porter prior to this accident, because his family wanted him to be a lawyer, didn't they?
Yeah, he came from the richest family in Indiana. He was born in Peru, Indiana. And his grandfather, J.O. Cole, was a millionaire. He owned drug stores, he owned land, he owned timber, and he wanted young Cole to be a lawyer. So they first sent him off to Yale, where he excelled in singing. He was a whiff and poof.
Oh, sure.
And he wrote one of their famous football songs, Bulldog, which is still played every time Yale scores a touchdown, if indeed they do score a touchdown.
That does not sound like it prepares you for torts. And,
no. And then he went to Harvard Law.
He did.
But he didn't like Harvard Law, and he quickly transferred to the music school, where he learned a great amount of composing and counterpoint and so on. But his grandfather disowned him, so he wrote him out of the will. J.O. Cole wrote Cole Porter out of the will. And so fortunately, Cole's mother gave him some of her inheritance because he had to live a great lifestyle.
Let's hear for the mothers who are supporting their kids.
I wish my mother would be $2 million.
So he started turning out Broadway shows. First one was a flop, wasn't it?
Yeah. His first show was 1916, was See America First. It ran 14 days. And then he went to Europe where he partied and drank and hung out with all the elite people. And he met a woman, Linda Lee Thomas, who was even richer than he was. She was a divorcee and a socialite, and they married. But it was a marriage of convenience. Cole Porter was a gay man, but not living out among his friends. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone did not know mm-hmm. about that. But they kept this appearance of a marriage going because it was, you know, the 1930s, 1940s. Yet they were very devoted to one another. So there was love and affection between the two. But it was a different kind of a marriage.
But he did get that success. He had a career going that was rocketing along. And then what happened October 24th, 1937?
Well, he, as you said, he's writing all these great musicals, Anything Goes, Red Hot and Blue, and so on. And then he is riding at the Very Tony Piping Rock Country Club in Long Island. Now, this was creme de la creme. Rockefellers were there and J.P. Morgan were there. And he was riding a horse. He was a very accomplished equestrian. And the horse shied and then tripped and then fell on Cole Porter right on both of his thigh bones and fractured his legs in multiple places. And in fact, Cole was there on the ground for several hours. Now, he claims he wrote a song during that period called At Long Last Love.
Is it an earthquake or simply a shock? Is it the good turtle soup or merely the mark? Is it a cocktail, this feeling of joy? Or is what I feel the real McCoy?
But he was severely injured. He had compound fractures of the femur bone. That means the bone is actually sticking through the skin. And that's a very serious injury, particularly in the days before antibiotics. So this is about 9 or 10 years before penicillin is widely available. So he went through, over the next 20 years, multiple orthopedic procedures.
And such as?
Oh, removal of bone and the splicing of tendons and treatment for osteomyelitis, which is an infection of the bone. And it was just excruciating. And yet he's writing all these lovely, lilting, happy, wonderful songs. He even named his legs.
He named his legs. And what did he name them?
The left one was Josephine, and the right one was Geraldine, who he called a hellion and a psychopath. He called her something else, but we're on family radio, so I'll avoid that.
Use your imagination, yeah. Folks. But that is really something, because bone pain is just
– the worst.
The worst. And you think it did not stop him from his role. What does that tell you about someone's ability to not only cope but to do well day in and day out living with this terrible pain?
Isn't that fantastic?
Yes.
He's so inspiring. I always loved Cole Porter just to listen to his music or to see his shows. But when you read about his personal life and the travails that he literally triumphed over to create such a wonderful body of work, it's just – all you can say is wow.
And he would be out and about town. Was he able to walk despite all of this awful stuff?
He tried braces for a while on his legs. They didn't work very well. And then he had a man Friday who would carry him around, particularly to openings of shows. So there are photographs of Cole Porter all decked out in white tie and tails. And he has this very large man Friday who carried him. Mm. But after 1957, that bad leg, Geraldine, was amputated at mid-thigh. And that's when things really went wrong or went south for Cole.
He said, psychically, perhaps?
Psychically. He said, yeah. I'm only half a man now. And he got more and more involved in drinking alcohol and taking narcotic painkillers and suffered many, many other disabilities, infections and bladder problems and kidney problems until he died in 1964. But his last several years, he was basically holed up in his very posh apartment in the Waldorf Towers, but he became quite reclusive, and it was a very sad ending.
That is a sad ending, but he certainly had many years of triumphing over something that I think many of us would just throw in the towel.
Yeah.
And I've heard it said by many historians that when you look at Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that his having polio and having that agonizing challenge made him mm-hmm. into the great president who was ready to lead America in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder what you think perhaps this whole experience did for Cole Porter.
Well, I think great challenges in all of our lives, no matter what they are, physical injury or illness mm-hmm. or deaths of others, you either succumb to them and you die as well. You can die even before you do physically die. Or you surmount them and you go on to bigger and better things. And I would put FDR and Cole Porter in the latter category. And thank goodness for people like that, because they change the world, don't they?
They do. I'm wondering if that awful accident had happened to him today with where medicine is today, do you think it would have been a different outcome? Would it have been better treated?
It would have been far better treated. To begin with, he would probably have been treated with antibiotics immediately, mm-hmm. intravenous antibiotics. So the osteomyelitis, the bone infection, may not have happened, or at least it would have been tamed. And the treatment of orthopedics problems is so much more advanced that I think that he would have had a better time of it. But these were pretty bad fractures in multiple places. So he still would have had problems, mm-hmm. but I don't think it would have been nearly as agonizing as the treatment he received in the 40s.
University of Michigan medical historian Dr. Howard Markell, who is certainly giving us something to think about whenever we hear the fabulous music of Cole Porter. And we actually say happy birthday to Cole Porter today, don't we?
Happy birthday, Cole Porter. You're the tops.
Poetic, I'm so pathetic that I always abide his best. Instead of getting them off of my chest, to let them rest on his breast. I hate parading, my serenading, and I'll probably miss a ball. But if this ditty is not so pretty, at least it'll tell you how great you are. You're the top, you're the Colosseum, you're the top. You're the Louvre Museum, you're a melody.